Shows of every kind invite the crowd. Shows that make us grip our seats with excitement.
A sample of the marvelous freaks you'll see for the price of a small bin dime.
Internet Freak Show.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Internet Freak Show. Today, we're going to be covering a woman by the name of Casey Nicole. In 1999, Casey created an account at an early social media network called collegeclub.com. Social media networks and College Club were quite new at that time, and Casey was an eager, smart, and ambitious high school senior from Kansas. She was ready and willing to help the small but growing website. She offered to help with administrative tasks, and she quickly made friends with the staff there. In fact, she quickly made friends with just about everybody, including other users of the site. Just like today's social media networks, College Club allowed its visitors to upload photos, make friends, things like that. Casey was a typical high school student of that era, blonde and bubbly, with many photos depicting her as a basketball star. Casey made many friends online, including a Canadian who was living in Hong Kong at that time, named Randall van der Woning. During a private conversation with Randall, Casey revealed her battle with leukemia, which at that time was in remission. Shortly after, she confessed to Randall that the cancer had returned. Although they only maintained an online friendship at that time, Randall cared greatly for Casey, and he was deeply concerned about her well-being. With Casey in Kansas and Randall in Hong Kong, he couldn't really do much to help her, but he was willing to lend his talents as a web designer to provide some assistance. He offered to set her up with a blog dedicated to her fight with cancer, and she accepted that offer. She named the blog Living Colors and started blogging away in August of 2000. At the time, her blog attracted a lot of attention. Thousands of people visited it every day to read her updates. The updates ranged from what she was experiencing medically to emotionally. Many entries were exactly what you'd expect from somebody so young and who maybe didn't understand the gravity of the situation. For example, sometimes she would post about cute doctors or quote song lyrics. As Casey battled her cancer, her mother Debbie also started blogging about this battle from the mother's perspective. She chronicled how difficult it was to see her daughter struggling. In April of 2001, Casey revealed that her liver was failing and that she didn't have much time left. Randall, who was Casey's biggest supporter since the beginning, told Casey that he had to meet her to support her through this time. Casey told Randall that she would love to meet him, but not until after she took a trip to see the ocean, which was an experience that she wanted to have before she passed. The trip to the ocean and Randall's visits unfortunately never happened. On May 15th, a tearful and inconsolable Debbie called Randall to let him know that Casey had passed. She had died of a brain aneurysm. Soon after, news was posted to Casey's blog. It read, "Thank you for the love, the joy, the laughter, and the tears. We shall love you always and forever. Casey Nicole passed away May 14th, 2001, at the age of 19. News of Casey's death traveled far and wide across the internet. College Club and its employees and users were crushed by the news. A site called Metafilter and the users there had also followed the story closely and were very upset by Casey's death. While Casey was still fighting the cancer, she did accept gifts and donations to a P.O. box, but upon her death, that P.O. box was shut down. Thousands and thousands of internet users wanted to help her, though. They tried to send in donations and flowers to support Debbie in her loss and pay tribute to Casey's legacy. By May 17th, Debbie had told Randall that she was not accepting cards, donations, flowers, or gifts because they'd already had a memorial service and Casey had already been cremated. To some internet users, 3 days seemed like far too fast to have a death, a memorial service, and a cremation. It didn't take the internet all that long to figure out that if Debbie was lying about this one thing, maybe she'd also lied about some other things. Users started to go through old posts, but this time with new eyes. Rather than give Casey the benefit of the doubt as a teenager writing about her battle with cancer, they read them with skepticism that maybe Casey never existed at all. For the conclusion of the Casey Nicole story, please stay tuned after these words from our sponsors. Some points that Casey had made throughout her journey never really sat too well with the community that had followed her story. For example, conditions that she described that would normally involve a few days in the ICU, but she said she was discharged immediately. While Casey was still in the midst of her struggles, these were easy to hand-wave away as a confused kid or somebody exaggerating their condition, but in the midst of this skepticism, they were harder to deny. Other things didn't quite line up with Casey's death either. Nobody could find an obituary from any newspaper or funeral home, for example. But the biggest issue that people seemed to have about Casey is that nobody had ever met her offline. While many had followed her blog, talked to her via instant messenger or over the phone, nobody had met her in real life. That was pretty hard to believe. For a teenager as outgoing, friendly, and likable online, how is it possible that she didn't have any friends outside of the internet? As more and more holes began to appear in the story, Debbie once again reached out to Randall and told him that Casey was not her real daughter. And Casey wasn't even her real name. Casey was a foster child. And that is why no one could uncover anything else about her. But Debbie also wanted Randall to keep this part of the story a secret, asking him not to share it online. Randall respected Debbie's wishes, but some doubt was creeping into Randall's head as well. The internet turned on Casey over the course of a few days. From mourning a dead teenager after a years-long struggle with leukemia to poring over old posts, photos, and more to explain away the whole tragedy. They went back to revisit the original College Club account that Casey had created, particularly the photos that she'd posted of herself. In the background of one photo, they saw a school mascot. With some clever internet detective work, they found the school where those pictures were taken, and then the jersey number on Casey's uniform. They eventually found this player. While this player knew Debbie, she was not named Casey. She had never been ill, and she had no idea that her photos were being used online. With these lies adding up and Debbie feeling the pressure of the internet closing in on her, Debbie had no choice but to admit the truth. On May 20th, just 6 days after Casey's death and 3 days after people started unraveling the truth, Debbie once again emailed Randall the whole truth. Casey had never existed. She was a complete fabrication of Debbie's. The same users who had followed Casey's story so closely, with so much support and friendliness, were now following the same story with anger and revenge on their mind. They wanted Debbie to be investigated for fraud or arrested for simply toying with the emotions of the internet. For her part, Debbie says she regrets her actions, but she does believe that her writings did spread some positivity throughout the internet. I'm not sure I buy that, though. What positivity did this scam spread? It seems to me that it played with the emotions of thousands of internet users for no real benefit. Usually, a scam like this would have a payoff. Maybe it's financial, getting people to donate to a GoFundMe or something like that. Maybe it's to sell a book or merchandise. But what motivation did Debbie have to create and then kill a teenager online? That seems to be the weirdest part of the story to me, and Debbie doesn't have much to say about it these days. 20 years later, we're all familiar with fake internet personas. Kids are warned to never trust a stranger's story online. We all get friend requests rather frequently from people promoting porn sites. But Casey was different. She wasn't a shell of a profile designed to sell products or for any other obvious purpose. She existed only to upset people. I'm not sure what positivity Debbie thinks she was spreading, but it seems to me that she only spread cynicism. Next time, people won't be so eager to believe the writings of internet strangers, always doubting their story. Thank you for listening to this episode of Internet Freak Show. For more podcasts, or if you want to start your own podcast, check out the Geek Nerdery Podcasting Network. We've got podcasts on reality shows, horror movies, exploitation, pop culture, and more. If you want to reach out to me, please do it via Twitter. I am at Tim Wasson. And be sure to leave iTunes reviews. I do check them, and reading them does give me some motivation to keep this podcast going. So I want to take just a few seconds to thank those that have left reviews. So thank you to Jay Stovall, Ghosts of Mozart, Maverick, Crystal Gunfox, and Data Transfer. I do read your reviews, and I appreciate them. If you want to see more episodes of Internet Freak Show, please do consider leaving a review. Thanks, and we'll see you next time.
Until next time, stay freaky.